My baseball coach in high school taught me an acronym that you probably know much better and learned it much sooner than I did. KISS. Keep it simple, silly. I know, out in the real world we have a different phrase for it, but keep it simple. It is that simple, and sometimes it's supposed to be that simple. Now, there's no scriptural evidence that Jesus ever used this particular acronym or phrase, but sometimes Jesus goes there with us. He wants us to keep it simple, kind of like our reading for today. Jesus feeds 5,000 people. Actually, Matthew tells us it's 5,000 men. Matthew wants to point out that there were women and children who were in that crowd too, and it's a reminder to us that the struggle for women to be respected has been a long one. Jesus fed 10 to 15,000 people in the wilderness. This is one of the gospel stories, one of the ministries of Jesus that makes it into all four gospels. Now, you and I, when we think of Jesus, we probably think of Jesus kind of like a compilation album. You know, a little bit from Mark and Matthew and Luke and John. And if we're being perfectly honest, some of what we think we know about Jesus is more what sounds really good, but may not have shown up in the gospels. But this story shows up in all four gospels. All writers want us to know about this event where Jesus feeds the people. And Jesus feeds the city of Dixon. Everybody who lives within those city limits, he feeds them all in one meal because they're hungry. Now, he also maybe has the reason because he has compassion for the crowds, but there's no explanation, there's no rationale for why he does this, except that they're hungry. And what might also be quite curious about this story is that Jesus does this after he tries to leave the crowds. He wants to be alone. Matthew tells us right there at the beginning. He got an email, he got a phone call, a text message, something, and then he withdrew from the crowds in a boat to a deserted place by himself. He's trying to be alone. He's trying to escape the crowds. He even abandons his disciples. He just gets in a boat and he heads off. Sometimes he does this because Jesus is Jesus. And he heads off because he wants to talk to God and be in prayer and communion with our Father. He does this in Mark and some of the other Gospels. Matthew alludes to it as well. But it's not that simple this time. Now, with your Bibles handy in your laps, I would tell you to flip back a page, or if you had it on your screen, to flip up just a little bit. We would find out, we're right now in the middle of chapter 14. At the beginning of chapter 14, we would find out that John the Baptizer, Jesus' cousin, is dead. Herod finally got what Herod wanted, John out of the picture. John built up his career early on, calling out the political and the social powers of that day, and the empire as it was. It struck back. All the way back in chapter 4, we find out that Herod has John arrested. He throws him in prison because Herod can't tolerate all the noise. And he can't tolerate that John can muster up crowds. And he doesn't like the way that John is organizing the people. So he silences him. And then in chapter 11, John's disciples and Jesus' disciples and we, the crowds, we all get together and we've been consuming his words and we are amazed by all that Jesus does. And now we are confronted by reality of what it means to be a follower of Christ, that there is a cost of standing in God's kingdom. And it may even mean our life. So Jesus keeps speaking and he cures out all the diseases and then he reveals his compassion for the crowds. He does all of this great work. It's us. The disciples, it's the followers, it's you and me. You and me who are enamored by everything that Jesus does. When we find out that John is arrested, that there is a cost to our discipleship, we start pushing back. Because now the risk is getting serious. These are real powers and forces at work in this world. And they're starting to rise up and they are confronting Jesus. He's calling on us, he keeps sending us out, he keeps asking for us to call out all the demons and to cast out all the injuries, to be God's presence in this world, to even name the injustices of this world. But we don't want to do it. Because whatever power or privilege or presence we've got in this world, it's still better than nothing. But Jesus keeps speaking, and he keeps leading, and he keeps loving, and he keeps forgiving, and he keeps responding to the needs of God's people in this world with means of grace that come from this world. And then here in chapter 14, as he's been doing all this great ministry and we've been following along and we've been impressed, now we find out John is dead. Herod finally got what he wanted. Now, Matthew tries to skirt the issue a little bit and tell us that it was actually Herod's daughter who might have brought this about, but we need to remind ourselves Herod's the king. Herod's the one who wields the sword. Herod's the one who has all the power, because again, women are still struggling to be even noticed and counted. So this is Herod's act. He's defying God's kingdom. He's defying peace and equality and the simplicity that Christ talks about of creating a society of love and dignity. Herod got John. Now he's coming for Jesus. So Jesus, who's ever the fervent marcher, Jesus, who's ever the dedicated prophet, Jesus, who is the focused son of humanity, who lives in our humanity, now he needs space. We don't know why. Maybe the news broke his spirit. Maybe he needs a break. Maybe all his words of death and the cross are now coming into sharp relief in his humanity. Maybe he just needs this quiet spot to talk to our Father. But he takes off. He wanders off in a boat and he heads out to a deserted place. He goes out to the wilderness. But here's where the story switches a bit from other times when Jesus is hanging out with the crowds. Instead of Jesus going to the crowds, now it's the crowds who are going to Jesus. Because we love him. Because we still need him. We're willing to wander back out into the chaos of the wilderness. We want to be near him. Unlike nearly every other time where Jesus puts himself near God's people, now it's God's people, you and me. We got to get near him. And unlike the last time when Jesus went out into the wilderness to be by himself and he casted out the devil, now he's walking with his people. God's people, you and me, we the people, we who are hungry, we who are thirsty, we who are tired of the way that it is, we who are saddened by all this imbalance of power, we who are angry because we're not being heard, we who are despondent because of all the inequality in this world, we who are hopeful that all these words that we keep hearing about of love and grace and forgiveness and the kingdom of heaven is near, that it's actually going to happen. So we go because we can't let Jesus be alone, and we go because we can't be alone without Jesus. And Matthew tells us that Jesus sees us coming and he has compassion for us. And through his love for us, he sees our exhaustion, he hears the rumbling of our tummies, and he says very simply, feed him. Jesus feeds the people. Now granted, in the gospel stories, we are also the disciples, and the disciples in this particular story, they raise up a question that you and I probably would ask, and this one particular question is loaded with all the other questions that we might be thinking in the back of our minds. What if they're not hungry? Jesus says, feed them. What if they've already got money and they can afford to go to Sullivan's or somewhere else themselves? Jesus says, feed them. What if they just take the meal and they don't say thank you? Jesus says, feed them. What if we struggle communicating with them? What if we offer them the food, but they resist because there's a language barrier? Jesus says, feed them. What if they're spies? What if they've been sent here to take notes and keep track of us? Jesus says, feed them. What if there's not enough, Jesus? Shouldn't we rationalize and ration out this bread and this fish, you know, so that we can feed more people and we can keep this ministry going? Jesus says, feed them. Because Jesus keeps his ministry simple. Maybe Jesus is done with all the reasons. Maybe Jesus is done with all the words. Maybe Jesus is ready to reveal that his kingdom is not just words in a lovely bound book, but it's right here. It is in this bread, this meal, this fish and this water, this flesh and blood that we have been given to give away. Jesus is simplifying our mission into this moment that God gives us, this opportunity to live out the compassion that he has been living through us. Feed God's people with no regard for the cost. Because we know the cost. We already know the cross. We are post-resurrection disciples. We know that when the time will come, we are going to step back and we are going to stay outside around a charcoal fire, and Jesus will go in. And Jesus will stand in our place. And Jesus will stand in the court and will stand on the cross. And he will take our life, and he will make it his, and he will make us new. So Jesus says, feed the people. Without all the paperwork and the bureaucracies of power that tie our hands and bind our feet, without the fear or regard of what might happen in the face of what will happen when we get to feed God's people, Because Jesus loves us. Jesus feeds us. He found us out in the wilderness when we were wandering about and we were lost. He claimed us from our suffering. He has come to us and he keeps coming for us wherever we are and whatever we've been. And he continues to fill us with compassion for you, for me, for our neighbors, our friends, our coworkers, our classmates, even our enemies, for the sake of God's kingdom. In the face of all that tries to silence our power and slow our step, Jesus turns to us. And whether we have all of the power of this world at our fingertips or we feel like we have nothing at all, Jesus loves us, he forgives us, he transforms us, and then he points us back to the community. And he says, feed the people as he has fed us. Love the people, our people, we the people, who are longing for a simple answer to the complexities and the difficulties and the questions that fill up our lives. Jesus responds by reminding us that we are loved so that we can love each other and that the kingdom surrounds us so that we can build up a community that is bound in love and dignity. Amen.